Good morning.
Can you hear me well? Oh, now it's good. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to see you. You are at the right time, in the right place with?
The right people.
Amen. Amen. You may find some information in your bulletin. I just want to highlight some of them. During the summertime, we have the Bible study going on. Wednesday evening, we are studying John's Gospel. And Saturday morning, we have men's group. So if you want to join, that will be really great. And we are also planning to have Wednesday morning one. It's coming, so the announcement will be coming. And this Saturday, we are going to help Habitat for Humanity. It's going to be really good. We have many people in our local community and Habitat for Humanity. They are building one house every year. And this coming Saturday, we will go. If you have muscle, that will be great. If you don't have muscle, we will find a job. There are a bunch of work we may help, so please think about it. And if you have any question, please find Jeff. He's right over there. And we are collecting these days some items for body bags. We are also collecting laundry detergent and toiletry and some food items for the kids in our local community. We are helping. I'm really grateful. We are a generous community trying to help the people in our local community and beyond. So you can find all the list. Those will help kids in our local community to have a meal on their table. So please think about it. And loose coin this month will go to help Jennings Lion Day Home. That is located in Sheridan, Illinois. That was launched by Sheridan UMC about 25 years ago, helping the people, helping the familyhood in especially poverty line in those areas, taking care of their kids so that mom and daddy can go and work. It's a really good nonprofit organization, and I'm so happy we help them. And this morning, our liturgist is Jeff. Yes, let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Christ calls those who are weary and heavy laden. In Christ we find rest. Christ calls us to bear his yoke and learn from him. In Christ we find grace. Christ is gentle and humble in heart. In Christ we know God's love. Come, for Christ calls us here. Our opening hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory, number 577, verses 1 and 4.
Next hymn, volume a little bit up, please. It is time for us to share our joys and concerns. Sydney, happy birthday. Yeah, we can give a big hand. Today is Jason's birthday. Happy birthday. And during the week, we have a few people: Lindsay, Sandy, Matthew, Andrea, and Nathan, Roger, and Jack. So please, you may send a card or make a phone call to say happy birthday. And also, we have two couples, James and Wendy, and Ed and Jen. Yes, we can celebrate their special day together. Some of you might be wondering, okay, we don't have a musician today, but we have music. Yeah, sometimes it happens. Our interim musician, Arita, is out of town, so we have a recorded music. And it's the first time Joy played all the music, so we may be generous to him. Thank you, Joy. And please continue to pray for our step parish as we are looking for two people in the position. I mean, our musician and secretary. We need it very soon. And this coming Saturday is Roger's birthday, but last week we said he was going to have a surgery, but it was misinformation, and he's going to have a surgery on 20th in this month, so please continue to have it. And now, I'd like to invite you to share your joys and concerns. Any joys? Yes.
I don't know if it was up there last week if I wasn't here, but we celebrated my granddaughter's 10th birthday.
Yeah! Please say the happy birthday. Thank you. And other joys and concerns?
I have one. Mm-hmm.
Last week, we talked about Micah 6a, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And the biblical understanding of justice, that is simple. It's not about our worldly or contextual or ethical justice, but it's all about taking care of the vulnerable. Yes, we think about the people who are vulnerable. So thank you. Thank you.
I mentioned last week that I have a friend from, one of my roommates from college, was recently in remission and came out of it, and she started chemo again this week, so just prayers for her. Her name's Lauren, and then also prayers, she has an identical twin, whose name is Lisa, and they're very close, and so I know that Lisa needs prayers as well, being in that caregiver role for her sister.
Please remember Lauren and Lisa, right? Lisa, in your prayers. Thank you.
You know, it was on the prayer chain. I'm not going to mention names, but prayers for a friend of a friend who was recently diagnosed with ALS.
Yes, thank you. You know, we have a really good group of a prayer chain. If you have not received the email, but want to have it, join it, please let us know. And please continue to have all the people we share in our prayer chain. Thank you. Sometimes my wife complains because I speak a little bit faster. Do I speak a little bit faster today? Is it okay? Okay. And please continue to have Jane Partridge and Reverend Normal Parson in your prayers. And let's turn to God. Oh, one thing. During the week, there was a fire in downtown, and I heard one people got killed and one is missing. And about five families, they lost their houses. So please remember them in your prayers. Once we receive some kind of items or any way we may help, I'm going to make an announcement so we may help the people in our local community. So let's turn to God and pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks that you are our God and you have called us to be your people. Lord, this morning we have gathered in your name and shared our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken. Lord, remember each one of us. We know you are dancing with us when you are joyful, and you are crying with us when we don't know where to go and what to do. God, in all the situations, lead us, guide us, inspire us, and strengthen us so that we may live our days, our life, by your will. We are living in a world that we see so many people in need of our prayers and support. God, remember the people who are physically and spiritually challenged. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
seated. Let's sing together, Love Divine, all Lord's exalted.
Chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Do you mind if I stand over there?
Oh, no.
Okay, yes. I just want to come close and see you a little bit closer. You know, this morning, oh yeah, I thought about that, but I really miss our musician. You know, during the week, my wife spent about 2 or 3 hours playing and recording, and I spent maybe 6 or 7 hours editing all the stuff, but it's not the same, and we need live music in our live worship, right? So these days, we have been talking about some fundamental lessons in the Bible. There are tons of messages, really good lessons from the Bible. But we are kind of trying to say a few of them. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the golden rule, how we may change our lives by practicing golden rule. Every single aspect of our life with our golden rule is going to be really changing. Every single one. And it will lead us our journey to be a good disciple of disciple of Jesus Christ. And last week, we also talked about racism and children in poverty 2 weeks ago. And last week we talked about Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of us? To do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. We mainly talked about justice. There are so many ways to define justice and how the world maintains justice system. But we talked about the biblical understanding of justice. It was about taking care of the vulnerable. Who are they? We are at some point in our lives, but there are so many people in our society. And today, we turn to the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness. I don't know how you feel about forgiveness, but to me, forgiveness is one of the most challenging lessons, especially from Jesus. It's really tough because the forgiveness Jesus is talking about is so radical and transformative. It has the power to change every part of our lives. And I try to make it one sermon. Maybe I can finish them all today. No. That's too much. So I will talk about this forgiveness today and next week. Technically, I will talk about some preschool lesson. You have learned it. I told you at the beginning of this sermon series, you're not going to be surprised by any new lesson, but it's going to be a reminder of what you already have known and learned. The question is, do we practice it? Do we practice this preschool lesson? So we will talk about this week and next week, 6 words. Today, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Next week, I forgive you. Like other lessons in the Bible, when we practice forgiveness and make it a rhythm of our life, we experience so much joy, so much fulfillment, and meaning in life. It also embraces and enhances our relationship with God and others as forgiveness becomes integral to our daily lives. Paul Tillich, one of the greatest theologian in the 20th century. Paul Tillich, I love him. He's one of my favorite ones. He said, forgiveness is the divine answer, God's answer to the question implied in our existence. It is simply like God is giving you some kind of answer to, core answer to our questions. God, is it fair? Sometimes do we ask God, are you really sure? It's not fair. Sometimes even we ask, do you really exist? Why are you not doing some justice? And forgiveness is one of many God's answer to our life. According to Tillich, forgiveness is God's response to the brokenness, separation, hurt, and pain we encounter. It also addresses our separation from God. So asking for forgiveness, I'm sorry, asking for forgiveness and extending forgiveness lead us on a journey toward restoration, reconciliation, and reorientation to God. Somebody talk about Bible and believing in Jesus is all about going to heaven. We come to church because we want to have a ticket to heaven. I'm sorry, that's a little small token. No. Bible is all about God's love, and God's love is revealed and manifested in our journey to be restored, renewed, and reoriented to God. Our life with God. That's all about it. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Don't you have sometimes? I need that. Oh God, Paul, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Oh, stupid one. I'm talking about me. Sometimes I need to forgive myself for the things that I have done wrong. Something that I was not supposed to do. And for the things that I have not done in a time that I need to do. I need to forgive. Thinking about asking for forgiveness, a good apology plays a critical role. A good apology. Then what is a good apology? What makes an appropriate and sincere apology? There are so many books. And we know the power of these simple words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We learned that from our early days, early years. But in reality, it's not easy to practice and say, I'm sorry. Because we learn from our experience that saying, I'm sorry, it could lead to a situation where you'd be in trouble. Sometimes you have heard you may face even a trial when you say, I'm sorry. Yet, our spiritual, emotional, and psychological maturity can be measured by our willingness to apologize when we are supposed to say that. So it is implied in every single relationship in life. I make mistakes a lot. You have seen that for years now. It's my fifth year. Yeah! For the last 4 years, you have seen that I make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes what I say and what I do may hurt somebody. I'm trying my best not to make the hurt or not to make the same mistake. But I do. Sometimes I need to make amends. I know the best way. Even in my marriage life, I do so many stuff. Stuff, you know what I'm talking about? Then I have to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes that works. Immediately, oh yeah, it's okay. But sometimes I need to make amends. I gotta do something, and I know the best way. I drive for an hour and buy my wife one scoop of ice cream. Oh, that's a really good way. Sometimes I did a really terrible stuff, then I need to buy her 1 gallon of ice cream. Usually that works. A friend of mine, she has to have surgery. It was not a life or death kind of surgery, but it was still serious. Sadly, her husband struggled to handle stress. He didn't know how to handle all the conflict or stress, and he didn't know what to do and what to say. But he was overwhelmed by the situation, and he lashed out. He yelled at her just a few hours before her surgery when she was about to leave home. That was a while ago, years ago. But she's still dealing with the pain. How do you think this would affect their marriage? Genuine apology, making amends, and commitment to change should be involved. Saying, I'm sorry, might not come easily. It often requires courage. Only courageous people can make a proper apology. Let me ask you, are you courageous enough to say, I'm sorry, when it is needed? Asking for forgiveness is part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and a good human being. Even at your work, think about your boss. Good bosses, they are not afraid to say, I'm sorry, when that is needed. They don't say, okay, I'm the boss, I'm in charge. Whatever I want to say, whatever I do, it's okay. No. No. The same is true in marriage. And the same is true in family relationship. And the same is true in any relationship we have in life, even with God. Even with God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus emphasized the importance of reconciling with others before worshiping sacrifice to God. Usually, in Jesus' time, people, they found the synagogues every week, and they had a worship. But once a year, they went to the temple. No matter where you live, if you can afford, you go to Jerusalem to do the worship. That was the worship of atonement. It's an annual ceremony. It is like once a year, you go to temple and sacrifice a lamb or a goat and asking God, God, forgive me. It's really, really, really important to them. And Jesus is talking about that worship, the worship of atonement. And he was preaching in Galilee. He said, if you remember your brother or sister, your siblings have something against you, something you have done wrong to them, leave your gift at the temple and go back to your home and reconcile first. And then you come back and worship. We need to catch the story. We need to catch the importance of reconciliation and restoration in our relationship. What Jesus means is we cannot fully worship God until we have made amends for the things we have done wrong to others. It is so powerful because he was teaching this lesson in Galilee, which means a 9-day walk to Jerusalem. He's saying, you know, when you went to Jerusalem, you remember something you have done wrong, you go back for 9 days to see your brother or sister or your neighbor and say sorry. And then you come back for 9-day walk and do the worship. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth before you make worship. Can you imagine that? That is what Jesus is saying. That's the way Jesus emphasized the importance of forgiveness and reconciliation. One challenge we face is we often struggle with making proper apologies. We may be reluctant to admit our mistake because of many reasons. Sometimes we may have struggle to choose appropriate words. Let's think about some bad apology examples. When we think about bad apologies, those are self-serving or inauthentic. They are really benefit for the person who is speaking and asking. For example, I'm sorry you felt hurt by what I did. It's not about I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry you felt that. Another one, I'm sorry that you are so sensitive. I'm sorry you felt I did something wrong. I'm sorry if I have done something wrong. Or, I'm sorry you are such a nerd. That's a terrible one. Choosing a right and appropriate word. These bad apologies shift the blame or downplay the impact of the action, which was not genuine and sincere. Then, what does an actual apology, a good and authentic apology, look like? I told you, even for the apology, there were so many books, a really good one, and a few steps needs to be taken to make a genuine apology. I believe these steps work for personal relationship with other people, and let me tell you again, it works for our relationship with God as well. Firstly, there should be an awareness of how I've done wrong to others. I need to know. I must see the situation from their perspective and understand the pain and impact of my action. Second, I should genuinely regret my action that caused harm. I need to see that. We can only make a genuine apology when we recognize our limit, our mistake, and fault. Third, we need to confess and say I'm sorry and accept full responsibility. We need to take the responsibility. I'm sorry for what I have done. I will make amends and I will change. The last one is really important. A commitment to change and make amends. Some people try to skip that part, commitment to change and make amends. True apologies involves a willingness to grow and improve, ensuring the same mistake or a similar mistake will not be repeated. So these four steps are the awareness of what you have done, something wrong, earnest feeling of regret and confession, accepting full responsibility and commitment to change. It makes a genuine apology. In the Bible, the word for this kind of genuine apology is repentance. Repentance. Repentance is metanoia. It is not just saying sorry. It is not just, God, I know what I have done. I know I screwed up. No, metanoia needs to go more. God, I'm sorry I did this, and I'm going to change. Lead me, guide me. I will take responsibility. There is power in repentance. And there is power in repentance in our relationship with others. And there is power in our relationship with God when we ask for forgiveness. We know King David well. He had an affair. He had an affair with Bathsheba, the wife of one of his generals, Uriah. And he arranged for Uriah's death by sending him to the front line in the battlefield and commanding the other generals moving forward, withdraw, so that he could die. But later he pretended take care of this poor widow. In that one story, he has violated many of the Ten Commandments. Just imagine somebody who has committed such great offenses. How would you expect God to respond and act upon the person? It's a part of our life. We hurt and we got hurt. So you can have somebody in your mind from your past experience. How would you expect God act upon the person? We might struggle to imagine God's forgiveness. However, we find Psalm 51, David cries out to God, expressing his deep remorse and seeking help. He recognized the gravity of his action, and he cried out, God, I've messed up. I'm so terrible. I've messed up. I don't think I can make it right. I need you. And he pleaded for God's forgiveness and restoration. Create me a clean heart, renew the right spirit in me. Cast me not from your presence and restore me. even though he still has to take responsibility. We can find all the responsibility he has to take from those sins. Even though him taking all the responsibility, we find his relationship with God has been restored when authentic repentance happens. Is there somebody to whom you need to apologize? Is there somebody you hurt in the past, whether lately or years ago, whom you need to approach and try to see through their eyes? Is there somebody who experienced the hurt caused by your word or action? When it comes to apologizing, it can be beneficial. Maybe sometimes face-to-face works better. Directly speaking to the person, I'm sorry. But sometimes the person may not be ready for that. They may have held onto bitterness and hurt for a long time. In that case, writing a thoughtful apology letter and praying for their acceptance can be a good alternative. Maybe sometimes after sending an apology letter, we need to give them a few days so that the person may think about it and process the situation before sitting down together. They can open the door for the reconciliation. Let me ask you, who is it from whom you need to ask forgiveness? What about your relationship with God? What do you need to talk to God and ask for forgiveness to experience reconciliation and restoration in you? I love sermon. I love preaching. Do you know why? All the situation, I love to talk about our daily life, struggles, and all the challenge, but always, just like Psalm, always it ends with good news. Here's the good news. God is the God of the second chance. Some of you might think, you know, I know David's story. I'm not that bad. He's worst. He's really, really, really bad person. He's the worst person. To my perspective, in my reading the Bible, David is one of the worst person in the Bible. We may say, oh, I'm better than him. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't have an affair. I didn't cheat. I didn't steal. But we are not that different from David. The Bible is clear. God is the God of the second chance. If even David can make reconciliation, if God can even love David again, it's open to us. That is God. We believe. I'm sorry. Next week is going to be really challenging for me personally because I forgive you. Many of you think the same way. But this week, let's think about to whom do I need to say I'm sorry. And we pray God's going to lead us in that journey. Amen. Have you experienced that maybe your children, one of your children or your friend, you know they are going to make something stupid? I know they will make, he's going to make really, really dumb, not appropriate. But even